Well, here we are in the second chapter of Mark, and our attention is drawn to a time at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he was enjoying great popularity. Wherever they heard Jesus was, they wanted to be there. They didn't want to miss anything. And Jesus is simply engulfed by people who are ill and want to be healed. And this is just chapter 2 in the Gospel. In the previous chapter, lots of healing had gone on. And we're told that chapter 2, Jesus again entered Capernaum. He made this at the home of his ministry. When he came home, people would flock to where he was. But we've got to remember that this is Mark's Gospel, and Mark's Gospel is a little bit like the 100-meter sprint. He just can't wait to get to the end. You know, it's racing along. One of the words you find repeated is immediately, and then, and this, and that, and the other, and it's just whizzing along. Matthew's, by comparison, his gospel is a bit like the 10,000 meter race. It's a bit more paced, and you've got to use your brain as you're running, not just flat out like the 100 meters. So he's cutting to the chase. He wants to get to the main point, and so that's my introduction. I want to get to the main point this morning. I think it's a rather important point to make, and here it is, the main problem. The main problem. What problem did this man have? Let's read here. It's verses 3 and 4. Mark's going to throw the words up for me. Some men came bringing Jesus, a paralyzed man, a paralytic, carried by four of his friends. Since they could not get to Jesus because of the crowd that was in the house, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, where he was teaching, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. So it appears very straightforward. This man is disabled. Not sure you're allowed to use that word these days, but he was. And Jesus is able to make him better again. So they think, Jesus has been healing all these people. Let's get our friend who can't walk. Let's get him to Jesus. And voila, it's all solved. The problem sorted. He will heal him. Let's get him in by hook or by crook. And they came through the roof, of course. And Jesus has been doing lots of good things. And this is the first of five main conflict stories in Mark's gospel. And he gets into trouble simply because he helps someone. And, you know, sometimes that happens to us, you know. We get a lot of hassle when we really try to do something good for someone. And in simple faith, his friends bring him to Jesus because they've heard about what has been going on. And they think, if only we can bring him to Jesus, he'll heal him. And so they're bold enough, doesn't matter what's going to be in their way, they're going to get him to Jesus. And now listen to what happens. After their determined entrance, where they literally unroof the roof, as one of the Gospels put it, they lower their friend right in front of Jesus where he was teaching, and Jesus stops his incredible teaching and he turns to the man and he says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And it was just like that. There was silence. Just like that. And at this point, everyone must have been staring at him with mouths wide open. So let's just imagine for a moment that in that house, there was a cameraman, okay? Let's just insert a cameraman for a moment. And he's going to focus in on Jesus, who's teaching this really good stuff, and people can't believe this incredible teaching. And then there's a bit of noise up above, and they try not to be distracted, but there's a hand comes through, and there's a foot comes through, and they dig a hole in the camp. But they turn the focus up on the roof, and sure enough, the hole's getting bigger and bigger. And this man is lower down on this sort of stretcher thing right in front of Jesus. And he's disturbed him, of course. And then the focus then goes to Jesus Christ. And he says to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the cameraman doesn't know what to do just at that point, but he looks around, and then he sweeps the room with the camera, and sure enough, just open your mouth a bit, and the crowd are just gobsmacked, their mouths wide open, they can't believe what has just happened, what he has just said. In fact, they're stunned. They're stunned that this man would say to someone else, "Your sins are forgiven." And the truth is, it wasn't really what the man had come to hear. It wasn't why he had come. He wasn't expecting that. He wasn't looking for that. It wasn't what he wanted to hear, but it was what Jesus wanted to say. See, Mark, he just tells us the story. He gets to the point. He doesn't tell us all the other stuff that was going on. And this is the main problem summed up in one, I think. He didn't get what he had come for, but he got more than he understood, and he certainly got more than he at that point appreciated. But he thought the main problem was something else. And our illnesses affect our physical well-being. Sometimes they affect the way we think and we see things. Sometimes it can make us really depressed. And as long as we live in this mortal frame, our illnesses affect us. But when this body is dead, those illnesses can't do a thing to you, quite understandably. But the effects of sin go deeper. And they will affect us in an eternal way, in a sense. Because there is an eternal dimension to them. There's a spiritual dimension to the sins in the lives of people today. And the question is this. Is our main problem in life, is our main problem, as you understand it, different to the one that you are presently focused on? Just like him. Physical disabilities are easy to spot. But who can tell when someone has a spiritual disability? How can you tell by looking at someone if they have a huge sinful problem in their lives? You know, we read the newspapers with Jimmy Savile and people like him, you know? And it all comes out in the end. Be sure your sin will find you out. But Jesus knows the man. And he also knew what the experts in the law were thinking at that particular point. I know what you're thinking. And he goes on to say, you know, which is easier to say, you know. We'll come to that in a moment. But he also knows what everyone is thinking here this morning too. He knows us intimately. And so we ask God for specific things. But his reply seems to be answering questions that we're not asking. And that can be incredibly difficult for us to understand. And sometimes we get to the point where we think, it's not working, this Christian faith thing. It doesn't work. I keep asking God for this. And he just ignores my questions. And these other things happen. Yeah? And that sometimes we think, it's not working, I'll not bother. But it is working. It is working. And perhaps what is rightly happening here is that God is highlighting the main problem and not the symptom. But we're all about symptoms. You know, I've got this wrong with me, I've got this wrong with me. God, can you do this? Can you sort this bit out for me? And we talk around it instead of going to the main problem. Just as often a spiritual side to it. And the declaration, "Son, your sins are forgiven," has got to be the main focal point of the healing. That's really what Mark is saying here. And it's at this point that we really want to ask, and sometimes we've got to do this when we read a passage of Scripture where, you know, we think, well, I don't know what that means, and I've got to ask to find out what that means. We've got to ask, what is actually happening in what is happening? Second thing. Finally, the main healing. Something profound is actually going on here, and Mark has grabbed a hold of it. Even though he's running that 100 meters race, he picked up the one thing that was really important. He wouldn't let it go. And in a sense, here in verse 9, Jesus helps us with this, where he asked the religious leaders a question, and this is it, Mark 2, verse 9. Which is easier? Remember, he's just said to the man, your sins are forgiven. And he knows what they're thinking. And he says, now, which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk home? Which is easier? Now, I've got to admit, I think they're both pretty hard. Which is easier? I know which is easier one to spot. I mean, if the man gets up and walks home, problem solved. The first conflict emerged when Jesus dared to say to someone, to an ordinary mortal, your sins are forgiven. He got into big trouble for saying that. Who does he think he is? The experts in the law, after they had followed their rabbis for many years, were now asking, who does he think he is? It's the most remarkable thing. Jesus had responded to the main problem, but it wasn't what he had come for. And I wonder how often that happens today. I wonder how often it happens in church, where God responds to the main problem, but we've come for something else. I wonder, have you any short-sighted prayers or longings in your life? I think we should be stunned by the grace of Christ here. He didn't just give the man what he really needed, but in his grace, he gave him what he thought he needed as well.
Amen.
And when we get what we think we need, the symptom, when we solve the symptom, one of the symptoms, then another symptom comes along and says, Lord, just like last time, please can you do this for me? And no sooner has God answered one prayer that we want him to answer another one. We keep coming back to him for all of these things. And I've got great sympathy for people who are disabled, and especially those who can't walk. I know there's some people here who have a disability of various kinds. I think it's been 7 or 8 years since Pippa passed away. Some of us knew her in this church. She died at the age of, I think, 33. She had been in a wheelchair since a car accident at the age of 18, if I remember right. And would she have loved to have walked again? Yes, she would. Would she have been a happy person if she had been able to walk again? Yes, she would have been. But was she happy in the wheelchair with all that God had given her and with the family and the church and all that she enjoyed? Yes, she was. She was a very, very happy person. I don't think she ever equated being able to walk with happiness. But these friends bring the paralyzed man to Jesus. If only he can walk, then he'll be happy again. We'll all be happy. We'll have one big happy family. And is it true? Is it really true that if you can't walk, but you're unable to walk again, that somehow will eliminate all unhappiness? I think it'll eliminate some, but not all of it. Because we've got to acknowledge that some of the most unhappiest people in the world are walking around today. And it begs the question, what is it that brings happiness? We often speak of things, well, I do, as being a real headache. If something's a real, you know, a real pain, a real headache, I call it a headache. Oh, I've got a real headache today. I don't mean a headache, I mean a headache. Well, what was this man's headache? It was the fact that he couldn't walk. But what was his real headache? What was his real headache? I suppose for one of these headaches, we can take a couple of paracetamol or something stronger. But what do we do for the real problem in our lives? How do we tackle that? What do we take for that? You know, the real headache is the one that won't go away. It's the one that's always there, what we live with. And I don't want to push the headache analogy too far, because I know some people suffer from migraine. And migraine is an awful thing. It really is. Some people have it for days or a week or more. But it is as if on this occasion, Jesus solved the man's real headache. And for the other one, he threw in a couple of paracetamol as well. You know, he gave him such a really good dose of so much grace and love and compassion. And what he was really doing here, he was trying to take the man deeper than he ever thought was possible. Because Jesus didn't come to earth just to fiddle about with our quandaries in life and our idiosyncrasies and all of those things. He actually came to heal the disease that afflicts all mankind. And that's us here this morning too. All of us. And there is this simplicity in the gospel that is truly amazing. Do you remember I said last week what the first recorded words of Jesus Christ was in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 15? Jesus said, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." That was his first recorded words in Mark. Later on, in Matthew's Gospel, he says this. It's kind of a similar kind of thing, really. But it was a challenge. But seek first, above everything else, when you come to God, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And, you know the rest of the verse, don't you? All these things will be given to you as well. And it's as if I can see this in this story, you see. Here's a man, he's coming, and if only he had come saying, "Lord, please forgive my sin." Because that was the biggest problem in his life. But the Lord, in his grace, gave him the biggest thing and everything else as well. And so this morning we come to seek something that's deeper than the flesh. Something that's deeper, an inner healing, a healing of spirit and mind, of soul, right in the very depths of our being. We want to be healed inside. And for those who seek that, God will not disappoint you. You know, there's something both physical and spiritual about this communion table this morning. For on here is bread and a cup. And it is a physical thing that we will break and share in just a moment. But it also represents something incredibly and profoundly spiritual. For here is the answer to mankind's greatest problem. The problem of sin in our world, in our lives.